the scriptures. And then, you know, the Lord just gave me this last week that oftentimes God will give me a command and I'll start to strategize how to do it perfectly. And then in the process, I forget about it. And so the Lord said to me, the insight that the Lord gave me was, imperfect and immediate obedience is better than delayed perfection. Imperfect and immediate obedience is better than delayed perfection. That is, when God gives you a command, it doesn't need to be perfect. It just needs to be obedient. It just needs to be immediate, an immediate responsiveness to God. Immediate imperfection is better than delayed perfection. Does that make sense? Amen. Good. Somebody else. Awesome. Well, praise the Lord. There's no more questions. I think we're... Any other questions? Yes, sir.
You talked about, like, accountability.
Yes.
How much of it is, I guess, training yourself to have better accountability versus kind of, like, do you still have good accountability even though inside, you know, you're on fire?
So when I talked about countenance, I think you all went through my seminar, so you all understand the context in which he's talking about countenance. Like, the Lord caused me to become aware of the fact of what my countenance was communicating to my wife. Being aware of my countenance does not mean forcing myself to smile regardless of how I'm feeling. It's not forcing myself into an emotional space or a pretense. But it's being aware of when my countenance is communicating rejection to the people that I love. And I can steward that, even if I'm not feeling great, I can steward my countenance so that I'm not communicating rejection. So for instance, if I'm in pain, then yeah, let my countenance reflect the fact that I'm in pain. But don't allow my countenance to communicate rejection to the people I love because I'm in pain. And so often we allow these things to be excuses. You know, well, I was feeling this, and that's why I treated you this way, as if what's okay for me to treat you that way because I felt this or because I was going through this. No, nothing should stop me from loving you. Nothing is an excuse for not loving you. Does that make sense? Yeah. Anyone else? Yes, sir. Man, that's you guys are doing much better than us. It's like herding cats. This is awesome. You guys. Still, we don't even do it once a year. Yeah. I don't know.
How about
imagination? Am I
imagining?
Yeah. We've been praying about that very question. You know, I've been meeting with some of the guys in my church, and we've been really praying about how to be more effective. Because this is the problem with churches. Like, for instance, with you guys are really strong in the house church movement, right? Right, the house church movements with SP is, like, so strong. Well, that's the primary place where discipleship and fellowship transpires, right? So if you're on the worship team and you're in a house church, and in addition to that, you got men's ministry, it's like pretty soon you're at the church every night of the week, or you got some kind of church event like 3-4 nights a week, and it just becomes overwhelming. It's like, how are we supposed to do all of this? And so part of it, you know, I would imagine for you guys, it's got to be more organic, like creating a whole nother thing that people need to commit themselves to. And honestly, I mean, it's really hard post-pandemic just to get people to commit to normal things, like just coming to church every Sunday. You know what I mean? And so adding another thing for people to commit themselves to can become overwhelming. But kind of the organic nature of... So like one of the things that we do organically is when we do discipleship with individuals, we teach them our journaling process. But then we encourage them, Why don't you grab another guy, if it's a young man, why don't you grab another guy and just read one of your entries a week? Just grab a friend, say, hey, can I just read one of my journal entries to you every week? And can we just pray together? And I just want somebody to know what I'm working on in my walk with Christ. And then maybe that other guy is actually doing the journaling process, and he'll read one of his. And now you're building fellowship with one another, and you're sharing your journey with God with one another, and it's kind of building organic. But, I mean, the fact that you guys have this is a powerful, I mean, this is awesome. You guys do this, and the fact that, you know, you're all coming back together, and you're going to do this again every year, you know, this is powerful. This is powerful. So, you need to teach us. I'm going to have Pastor Sam come to our church, and we need to do a men's retreat, and we'll have you come speak. That'll be tight. That'd be awesome. Yeah. Yeah, we used to do men's retreats. We haven't done one in a long time. That's good. I did a men's discipleship last year for 12 consecutive Saturdays. So I'll do these like discipleship groups that are contained. It's not like a lifetime commitment. I'll say, I'm going to do men's discipleship for 12 weeks. Or I'm going to do couples discipleship for this many weeks. And it's going to be this one night or this one morning. And it was just Saturday morning, 12 consecutive Saturdays for an hour. And all we did was we memorized Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through like 31, through the end of the. And it was crazy. Like if you came to the church, there'd be this group of men just standing at the altar area of the sanctuary going, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles in the futility of their minds, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God." It was just about getting the word in us together. And then every week a different guy would get up and share like a 5-minute, this is this particular verse that we're memorizing this week. This is how it has impacted my life, and this is what the Lord is speaking. Then we would all just kind of talk about it together. But I've done that many times with that same passage of Scripture. And so what happens is the guys now have this kind of shared passage of Scripture that most of the guys in our church know. And if one of them starts saying, "This I say therefore," there's 20 other guys, "and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles." It's become like a rallying cry for the men in the church. Guys will talk about how that passage of Scripture saved them from temptation or pulled them back from the jaws of something that the enemy was trying to do in their life. And that's why it's so powerful. So, you know, that's one idea is, yeah.